Authority is probably not most people's favorite word in the English vocabulary. You know, how many employees get excited when their bosses exercise authority over them? You know, it's like, how was work today? Oh, it was great. My boss corrected me 3 times and gave me several new jobs to do. It was great. You know, or how many kids, you know, get excited when their parents give them chores to do? And they're like, oh, yes, my parents, I get to live up to their authority. It's great. You know, I'm sure that's, for some of our children, their first response, but for others, maybe not. You know, but when we look at the concept of authority, authority is a good thing when it's properly exercised. Now, if we want an image of authority properly exercised, you know, think of the Garden of Eden before the fall. Adam and Eve were created and they were placed in a paradise. And God would, he provided them with everything that they needed. And this was a place in which God would pour out his goodness and protect Adam and Eve so that they could flourish. And they had access to everything they needed, even to the tree of life. And as long as they stayed under God's authority, he would protect them and he would provide for them. And so authority was a way of God providing abundantly for Adam and Eve. It's when they stepped out from under his authority and rejected his authority that they lost many of those blessings. And the world became what it is today. And so authority, rightly exercised, is a good thing. And if we think about different forms of authority, you know, parents are given authority over their children for the sake of the family, so that they can raise those children in virtue and that they can have an ordered home where the different responsibilities are taken care of. If there's no authority structure within the family, our families would be complete chaos. If we think about teachers, teachers are given authority so that they can instruct and the young people that are entrusted to them, and so that those young people can grow in knowledge and their intellectual ability. That's a good thing. If we think about the authority given to police officers and to judges, they're given authority for the sake of ordering society so that we don't have people stealing each other's cars and doing whatever they want, but that society can be ordered according to proper laws. All of those things are good, and authority is very important for us to flourish and for things to function properly. But our view of authority can often be tainted for different reasons. You know, sometimes we might have experienced authority exercised poorly. You know, we might have lost trust in someone in authority because we think that they have ulterior motives. You know, like a politician who might be making themselves rich rather than serving the people entrusted to them. You know, or, you know, in the gospel, Jesus talks about religious leaders who were more concerned about their positions of privilege, and they wanted people to swoon over them and to think, look at how holy and good these Pharisees and Sadducees are. And so they were looking for their own social standing. You know, sometimes people in authority abuse that authority, and they actually harm the people that are under their authority rather than doing what's good for them. And sometimes we don't like authority because of our own pride. You know, we might think that we know a whole lot better than our boss how to do this thing, and if they would just listen to us, then things would be better. Or we might just not want somebody telling us what to do. And so there can be an element just of our own pride where we don't like authority. If we want to flourish in our spiritual lives and in our relationship with God, if we truly want to flourish and experience the goodness that God has created us for, that we see an indication of before the fall, we have to place ourselves back under God's authority. We have to let him provide for us and care for us. We have to put ourselves under his authority. And that means not just putting us under God's authority, but also the proper authority structures that he's established within the church and within creation. And so he establishes authority structures within the family, within society, and on the spiritual order, there is an authority structure within the church. You know, parishioners are under the authority of their pastors. That's why I really like today's homily. Pastors are under the authority of their bishop. Bishops are under the authority of the Pope. The Pope's under the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is under his heavenly Father. And so there's a spiritual order that God has established. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's in authority is perfect. We know that's not the case. You know, every parent is not perfectly in control and doing what's best in every situation at every moment of their lives. You know, sometimes they get angry. Every teacher is, there's going to be moments where they blow a fuse and they get upset with what's going on. You know, priests, bishops, there's going to be moments where they make decisions that might not be the best at that moment. That's going to happen because humans aren't perfect. But that doesn't mean that that authority structure isn't still proper and that we shouldn't be obedient to that authority structure. Now, there are limits to obedience. You know, obedience, we can never be compelled to sin. You know, if someone commands us to steal or to lie and to do something we know is wrong, you know, we can't do that. But that's not disobedience. That's obedience to a higher authority. That's when we know that we have to be obedient to God's laws. And so there might be a situation in which we don't do something that's sinful because we're being obedient to a higher law. But in ordinary circumstances, that doesn't mean we get to decide whether we're going to be obedient or not, and we get to determine that. We need to obey legitimate authority when it's properly exercised. You know, if we think about an example, let's say someone in prayer thinks that they're called to start a ministry to the homeless. And they really think this is what God wants them to do. And they come to the church, they talk to their pastor says no. What should they do? Should they be obedient and not do it? Or should they follow what they think in prayer God is calling them to do? And the answer is, they should obey the church. God will be more pleased with that act of obedience than he would if they disobeyed and went and started a ministry. And more good would come from that act of obedience than if the person rejected that obedience. God is always pleased with obedience. If we want to look at some examples of the saints, Saint Padre Pio. There was a period of time where he was prevented from exercising his ministry by church authorities, and he was obedient. St. John Vianney, perhaps the greatest diocesan priest in the history of the church, it was doubtful whether he would even get ordained or not and make it through seminary. But he was obedient to the church, and he followed proper authority. St. Faustina, she thought she was called to deliver the message of God's mercy. And Jesus Christ told her to do that in prayer. There were times where church authorities told her no. And she didn't. She obeyed church authorities. And God was pleased with that. Obedience is more important. If God wants some ministry to happen, he'll make it happen through his church and through the proper authority structures. He'll convince the people at the right time, at the right moment, to do what he wants them to do to bring about his will. On our part, we need to be humble and obedient. Imagine how strong the church would be if everyone respected proper authority. Instead of less than 10% of young people staying with the faith by the time they get to college, we'd have 100% retention. Our churches would be filled with young people if we respected proper authority. There would be no schisms within the church. There would be no Orthodox church and different Protestant denominations. Every single follower of Jesus Christ in the entire world would be part of the one church. And there would be such unity and such strength in that, that everybody in the world would look at the church and recognize that God's hand is here. The witness that the church could provide and the strength of her ministry would be incredible. That's what God wants to bring about. But it only comes about if we respect proper authority. And so what's the best way for us to go about deepening our virtue of obedience and respect for God's authority? I think one of the best places for us to start is with Eucharistic adoration. Someone who's living for themselves is not going to devote themselves to a deep life of prayer. But the very act of coming to adoration, in addition to spending time with our Lord, which is incredible and very valuable, we're making an action of putting ourselves before Jesus Christ and allowing him to form our wills and our minds. We're giving him authority over us. We're placing ourselves before him so that he can work his will through us. And so it disposes us to allow the grace of Christ to transform us. And the greater we allow the authority of God to work through us, the happier we'll be and the more we'll flourish. And so adoration is a way that enables us to allow God's authority to reach part of our lives where we might have previously been resistant to that. And so it's a transformation that will happen that will allow the goodness and the life of God to flow ever more fully through us and through our lives. And so that transformation will only happen when we accept God's authority over our hearts and our minds. And so as we reflect upon today's gospel, I encourage us to reflect upon that and to allow God's authority to triumph ever more fully within us.